Good evening. Boy, do we have a lot to talk about tonight. This is Brainstew Wrestling, coming at you live with a brand new broadcast. My name is Hammy, and joining me on Skype is Michael Hipster Punchy Falcone. What's going on, Punch?
Nothing much, and I would like to let's let the fans out there have an update on my ankle. My ankle is at about 70% mobility.
Is that throwback to Randy Orton?
Yeah, my shoulder's at 70% mobility.
He still put over The Miz on SmackDown Live last night. I'm sorry, he went over The Miz last night.
Yeah, and buried the IC title, basically saying that it wasn't worth his time.
Not worth jack shit to Randy Orton. How are you all doing tonight? My name is Hammy, and joining me on Skype is, like I just said, Michael Hipster Punchy Falcone. This is Brainstew Wrestling. The number to call, 908-854-4228. That's 908-854-4228. Or tweet us at BSR Wrestling. You can catch us on Twitter there. And you can also tweet me at Hams Gruber and at Hipster Punchy for Mr. Falcone over here.
Now, can I point out, when it's the show after a pay-per-view at this point, it's the laziest prep we ever do.
Oh, yeah. This is by far the laziest prep we're going to do today.
Because, like, all right, so we got the pay-per-view. Raw, what you talk about. SmackDown's live now the day before the show, so we actually have to pretend to give a shit about SmackDown.
I care about SmackDown. Like I said last week, Mike, I care about SmackDown because it is live. It's not going to be pre-taped, and I find out what happens by watching the program live. From the draftee, a lot of great talent went to SmackDown, and I know we just said to each other before the broadcast tonight that you basically said you did not like SmackDown. I disagree. I enjoyed SmackDown. I like what they're doing. We're going to get to that in a second, but first we need to talk about Battleground, which for my money, as far as quality of matches go, better than WrestleMania across the board.
Yeah, it was much better than the matches that we expected to deliver, delivered.
Not just delivered, Mike, delivered fully.
Yeah, but then like the matches we didn't expect to do that well were better than expected. And like one of which included a great moment being Bayley having her first main roster match.
Oh, man, that pop for Bayley. Oh, you can call that one of the biggest pops you'll ever hear in WWE. That pop was so loud. The microphones distorted from the crowd noise. That's how loud Bayley's pop was at Battleground.
Yeah, the funny part is too, that was the second biggest pop involving a female wrestler this week.
Yeah, second biggest. We will get to that in a second.
Now, so we'll actually go over the card in order. Breezango defeated the Usos, which kind of surprised me because the Usos are kind of like Vince's favorite tag team. But I guess the jobbing punishment doesn't just extend to Roman Reigns in that family. Basically, the only way you're going to win in that family at this point is if your name's Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah.
Which, again, we'll get to in a second. But, Breezango, which, again, I love this tag team. Like, they've become one of my favorite teams in the tag team division just because they were randomly paired, but kind of a team that makes sense pairing them together. Because you've got, like, the dance star and the male model characters
right
teaming up, and they've just, like, they've been so good. You can tell Vince is noticing because he had the Usos put them over.
I love that at the end of Battleground, by the way, my favorite moment was, speak of the Usos, when they lifted Dean Ambrose after he pinned Roman Reigns, that was very funny to me.
No, my favorite was when one of the Usos creepily sniffed Becky Lynch's hair in the backstage area.
Yeah, that was a bit of a creeper, too.
Yeah, I was like, what the listen, now, I've heard, like, some officials were annoyed by that, but considering the way Becky reacted, because I'm sure she felt it, I'm sure she knew about it beforehand, or it was like a rib, like an inside joke that no one who watched it knew about.
Right.
Because, like, there would have been a shitstorm. Like, we might have seen an Uso get fired.
Second match on the card. Again, Sasha Banks and Bayley debuting on the main roster defeats Charlotte and Dana Brooke, which, to our surprise, I got wrong. I thought Charlotte and Dana Brooke were going to go over to save Sasha Banks' win over Charlotte for SummerSlam, but as you will find out in the Raw recap, that did not happen.
Now, as I said, I was right because I said Sasha was going to get the victory over Charlotte to set up a title match.
Right. Third match, Wyatt Family defeated the New Day. Surprise. I was surprised on this one. I thought the Wyatt Family were going to lose because they were disbanding anyway. Does it make sense to you that the Wyatt Family came out with the win?
Well, I mean, you could give the logic of it's their last time as a team for a while. So...
yeah, that makes sense.
Let them get a win on the way up before... I think Bray is going to get a big singles push.
It's about damn time. My boy Bray Wyatt has been treated like crap throughout his entire time in WWE.
No, not the entire time. Lately, they've been protecting him a lot better.
Okay, up until very, very, very recently, he has been treated like crap as far as his booking goes. I want Bray Wyatt to have a strong singles push, and I think they're finally going to give me that. Thank you, WWE.
I've got a theory on that and a bunch of other wrestlers that are kind of all connected as far as push goes, which I'll get into once we're done recapping.
The next match, which surprisingly I thought was going to be a snooze fest, but it ended up being a pretty decent match. Zack Ryder versus Rusev.
I didn't think it would be a snooze fest because Zack Ryder is actually pretty good in a ring, especially since he's going down to NXT. Like, it's kind of reinvigorated him.
His skills have improved greatly. I will agree with you on that.
And Rusev moves quick enough for a big guy that he's not a stiff that has to be carried in a match.
Correct. Ryder and Rusev, I think, was the surprise of the night. I know we save our picks for moments, our favorite matches, whatever, for the end of our recap of the pay-per-view, but this match was my surprise of the night. Zack Ryder and Rusev delivered us a great match.
Yep.
I mean, Ryder ended up eating the submission, but he looked very strong in his match with Rusev. He put up some great offense. When the booking of this was, Rusev was the almighty powerful monster heel. And Rusev defeats him with the accolade, but Ryder showed that he can maybe get out of it.
Yeah, and then post-match, as a means to introduce Mojo Rawley, who in NXT was a tag partner of Zack Ryder's, Rusev continued to beat down after the match, and Mojo came in for the save. They're not going to feud because different shows, but like it was more to set up him being, you know, like Zack Ryder's on-screen buddy.
Correct. And I didn't mind the debut. I liked it. And like I said, that was the surprise match for me.
Now, the match of the night, and possibly of the year, was next.
Man, what phenomenal storytelling these guys delivered. Of course, we were talking about Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens. Billed as their conclusion of their rivalry, which I am going to say right here that I am very happy that I was correct in my prediction with this, because I picked Sami Zayn. And my reasoning was they built up the feud on the main roster as Kevin Owens always being the better man to Zayn. And we're seeing, for those of you with the benefit of the video podcast here, Zayn had the botch of the night with that move, with the bouncing flip off the ropes. Botch of the night from Sami Zayn. But it
didn't ruin the match.
It did not ruin the match. And Owens, of course, saw the opportunity and took advantage and injured the arm even more. And great selling by Zayn. But
again, though, and I was afraid because, like, that was the same shoulder he injured. I was like, oh, fuck, don't tell me he's going to be out for a while again.
Oh, I was worried, too. But Zayn, what a phenomenal storytelling. Like, guys, this is why we love pro wrestling so much, is this match. Zayn and Owens told a story in this ring. The match ended with Zayn giving two kicks to Owens, and the first time he did it, Owens was on his knees, and Zayn caught him, and was just looking at him like, I'm finally going to be the one that defeats you. I'm finally gonna get this up. Screw you, Kevin. And he gives him another kick and gets the 1-2-3 pin. Yeah. It was a perfect match. It was a perfect way to conclude their rivalry until they run out of ideas and put them together again. Owens was great in the match. Zayn was fantastic in the match. I was very entertained by it. Your match of the night. I know we usually save awards for the end of pay-per-view, but there's no arguing that was your match of the night. And possibly, Mike, dare you agree with me, arguably your match of the year for WWE.
Yeah, it's up there. Between that and Sami Zayn versus Nakamura.
Amazing. Two of our match of the year candidates for WWE both involve Sami Zayn.
Also, another possible match of the year, not as good as the other two, but Finn Balor versus Nakamura from NXT. Holy hell.
WWE, over the past few years, WWE has slowly presented five-star match after five-star match at these pay-per-views and their shows. And I got to be honest, as even the most uptight of pro wrestling fanatics, you cannot deny how good WWE is getting as a product. Vince McMahon finally bit the bullet and is now giving the fans what we have wanted for years.
Yep. Good wrestling, pushing new guys. I'm afraid that it won't last too long because it's Vince, but again, that's
Vince
I'm
McMahon,
gonna enjoy it for now.
Vince cares about ratings. And from what I'm reading, Raw and SmackDown are doing great in ratings, so Vince goes where ratings go, and he sees ratings from this. He's going to continue to do what gets ratings.
Yes. Now, the next match actually wasn't that bad, Natalya beating Becky Lynch.
No. I would say this is my dud of the night, but it still wasn't bad.
But it's the dud of the night in the way of, something has to be the dud of the night. Like, there's really nothing bad at this point. Natalya beat Becky Lynch. Becky will get her win back because, or I think, believe got her win back because WWE believes in 50-50 booking. So, but it was a good match. I'm liking this rivalry a lot. I hope it continues through SummerSlam.
I'm open too. Natalya's doing great as a heel. I'm enjoying her booking. I am enjoying Becky Lynch in this program as well. I think they're doing great.
Yeah, I like the fact that Natalya's heel now because she's kind of channeling her inner Beth Phoenix.
Yes. The next match on the card, Intercontinental Championship, The Miz versus Darren Young, ended in a double DQ. Why?
Hey, you know what, though?
I mean, I know the obvious reason is to give us another match, but why?
No,
like,
it's
why
not
was
to give
this
us
necessary?
Another match because they're on different brands. So it's a way to keep the title on Miz because, again, like we said, that and the U.S. title match were tied together. If one title is changing hands, so is the other. But if one's being retained, so is the other. But it's a way to not cut Darren Young's push at the knees, but then to also protect the Miz, which they threw out the window on SmackDown. But I mean, they did a double DQ with a lot of manager shenanigans, as they usually do.
It was a bit hack of a finish, but the match was still entertaining to watch. Not gonna argue that.
Backlund's a lunatic, so that's gonna make Darren Young matches much better to watch now.
Absolutely. A very close second for me for match of the night. John Cena and the Enzo and Cass versus the Club. The last time we're going to see Styles, Gallows, and Anderson together, at least until they team up at Raw and SmackDown joint pay-per-views.
Yeah. And there's an interesting rumor about AJ Styles and SummerSlam. For those who are wondering why the Club lost, there's a rumor going around that AJ Styles is going over John Cena at SummerSlam. Which, let's be real, in front of a very Ring of Honor-esque type of crowd, if Cena beats AJ Styles,
Oh, they're going to riot.
The venom in that arena is going to be hard to overcome.
By the way, I'm playing a clip from WWE's YouTube account as we're discussing this match. First off, one of my favorite spots of the night was what I just saw in the video, and that was Cass throwing Enzo onto the club outside the ring. That was one of my favorite spots of the entire night, and I just noticed the poo emoticon on the back of Enzo's outfit. That made me laugh very hard.
And a lot of things Enzo does makes me laugh hard.
The promos are some of the best you're going to see in WWE. The matches are entertaining to watch, and I like them. They're very likable.
Yeah, and like Enzo's fucking things that he likes raw thing or castles, I should say. Well, how you doing is going to become the new what?
Oh, it already is.
Yeah, how you doing? Like, I mean, a lot of the fans still have what programmed into their brains, but it's like gonna slowly change to.
But thank not Finn Balor. Thank Big Cass for changing what to how you doing. I didn't think what would ever happen, but Big Cass and Enzo and Cass are slowly changing that with the WWE fans.
Yeah.
By the way, on Facebook, I always post that me and you are live talking all things wrestling. Former guest of the show, KP Burke. By the way, I want to get you in studio again, KP, when Falcone can get here. First question, Ziggler turning heel or just IWC Dream Match? We'll answer that in a moment. And second question, where are you, Punchy, and why are you not working with him at the Comedy Shop?
KP, I'll talk to you about that. I'll talk to you about that privately.
It involves not having transportation.
Yeah, oh, that too.
Let's just say that.
And I'm trying.
Battleground here. Randy Orton RKO's Chris Jericho on the highlight reel, and my favorite moment of the night was when they took the shot at Brock Lesnar's steroid allegations from USADA and UFC when Randy Orton said, "I'm taking him to Viperville and there are no enhancements needed," which was very savage of him to say. Loved it. Jericho, of course, being the master heel that he is. I don't know about you, Mike, but that was the perfect spot for the highlight reel. And focused on the wrestling, have the talking segment be in between the two main events. I loved it. Perfect spot on the card.
I kind of hate when they have a match be the buffer between the two main matches, so I'm glad they did that.
And your main event, which I am very happy that I too got this correct. Dean Ambrose retains the WWE Championship against Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins in a very good triple threat match. We both knew Roman Reigns wasn't winning, so it was either going to be Ambrose or Rollins. And we based our picks on whether WWE will have either the World Heavyweight Championship or the now called Universal Championship. Will that be on Raw or SmackDown? And
yeah.
I said WWE will absolutely bring a WWE Championship to SmackDown and have the new Heavyweight Championship on Monday Night Raw. And I was correct because Ambrose retains at Battleground, and after he pins Roman Reigns with Dirty Deeds, he is hoisted up by the Usos, which was hysterical to look at.
Yeah. Hey, you just beat our cousin, but you're on the same show we're on, so
we kind of have to support you. And if you looked closely at the Usos' faces, they were not that happy at all.
No. They were like, this is awkward. They knew that their Samoan family was going to bust their balls about it.
Right. So let's switch to Monday Night Raw with our Raw recap. Let's recap the week in WWE because we had a great week of pro wrestling from the WWE camp. And then we'll go to break and we will review other things going on. So starting off on Monday Night Raw, we don't have a heavyweight championship on Raw. So what does Stephanie McMahon and Mick Foley do? They have two Fatal 4-Way matches, and the winner of those two matches face off to become the number one contender to face Seth Rollins for the now newly called Universal Championship. First off, do you like the name?
No, not at all.
All right, I don't like it either.
It's still there. It's basically, hey, we're gonna one up the title that's in SmackDown and call it the Universal title. Just bring back the big gold belt, or make a belt that looks like the current one with a different color, and call it the World Heavyweight Title.
So in the matches, we had the usual suspects from the Monday Night Raw locker room. The usual people are like, all right, that obviously is there, but the surprise was the last entrant to the second match, and that was one Finn Balor.
Yep. Well, he was the entrant in the first match.
And he wins.
Yep, he won.
He faces Roman Reigns in the main event.
And he pinned the right guy in that match. He pinned Rusev because Rusev was the heel, but they didn't want to have Owens eat another pin 2 days in a row.
So what were your thoughts on Finn Balor's athleticism in the ring and his match with Roman Reigns?
All right, so, I mean, listen, I've always been a fan of Finn Balor. The first match he was in was really good. And, you know, he's wrestled both, like, Kevin Owens quite a few times in NXT. He's probably faced Cesaro numerous times as well. So he's familiar. And then Rusev is just Rusev. Like, again, good as a power guy, but it was a four-way match. So there was a nice touch in Owens and Rusev teaming for a little bit. And then, like, at one point, Rusev tries to pin someone early, so he's like, whoa, what are you doing? Like, stopping at, like, pulling a Cartman, like, not letting the other guy get the pin, but using an excuse like, hey, you know, he's going to kick out. What are you doing?
Sort of breaking the fourth wall there.
Yeah. So I like that touch, but I mean, I was surprised. I thought the winner was going to be Kevin Owens.
I honestly thought the winner was going to be Owens, too. I did not expect Balor to be the one winning that match. And another thing, while we're discussing this, Monday Night Raw and SmackDown, new theme songs, new logos, new Titantrons.
New announce teams.
New announce teams. What were your thoughts on the new facelifts of the programs?
Okay, we'll start with, I'll say Raw now because we're talking about Raw. You can tell they're trying to make it look more like old school, like Raw or WCW, or like you can say they're making themselves look like a UFC type show, because now like when they're talking, like you see them talking at the desk, it kind of looks like they've got the ring behind them, kind of like the announcers have the octagon behind them.
But wait, WWE and UFC aren't in competition.
Yeah, oh, I thought Vince said they were in competition with everything because they're an entertainment show, so. That includes UFC. But I like that. I love the fact that they added Corey Graves to the announce team. Fucking dude is talented at it. And I'm glad, because he would have, as a wrestler, he would have been lost in the shuffle on the main roster.
As an announcer, he does a great job. And
it's funny, like replacing JBL with him made everybody around him better.
Yeah, because they had to forcefully step up their game to hang with to hang with Graves. Because if you noticed, Cole is just not good when he's the one leading the pack. When he has someone who's more talented than him on mic, like Corey Graves, he has to step up.
No, that's not what it is. You know what it is? When they don't have JBL derailing everything with his shit, like trolling the other announcers, they can actually do a little more and shine without having to worry about those shenanigans. Because Corey Graves will do some of that bantering, but he won't, like, it won't disrupt the flow of a match. He'll do it in a way that still helps with the narrative of the match.
I think Cole is trying to be a nicer guy version of Jim Ross, and he's just failing miserably at it. But what I heard on the commentary team, especially between Cole and Graves, I loved what I was hearing, and I loved the commentary. And we're just finishing up this highlight here with Balor and Reigns. Balor gets a 1-2-3 on Reigns, pins Reigns clean, which proves to another thing that I was talking about in recent weeks that
they punishing the shit out of him.
I think I've been pretty solid with my predictions so far here. Roman Reigns is getting punished via putting over people. And here's Roman's thoughts at the end of the match.
Finn Balor beats Seth Rollins for that WWE Universal Championship at SummerSlam. Because when he does, I want him again. I respect that dude.
You could tell that Reigns, it kind of hurt Reigns to say that. Because he's no longer the dude. He's no longer the guy.
And by the way, I've heard Vince has wanted Balor on the main roster for a while. And Triple H is just like, you know, I like having him on NXT.
Oh, so there's some professional rivalry going on there?
Well, like Triple H liked having him as one of the main guys so that he wanted to make sure there are other main event guys before Vince took Balor.
Good for Balor. I love the fact that he's still keeping his music and they're not giving him a shit gimmick like what they did with the Ascension. I love that Balor is not only being allowed to do what he's done in NXT for a while, but I also love that he went over on Reigns. Night one on the main roster, Finn Balor pins Roman Reigns, and I just want to gloat a little bit here to say WWE is doing what I said that they should be doing with punishing Reigns, because that 30-day suspension is a crock of shit. They are giving Roman Reigns the real punishment, and that's losing.
Yeah, apparently Vince is not happy with Roman Reigns right now. Like, that's why he's like, that's why Seth, apparently, again, other people are getting that push, like Seth Rollins and AJ Styles, for example.
As they should!
I want to point out one thing, too. One thing that was not mentioned was that, in the opening promo, Stephanie said one member of the Universal title match was going to be Seth Rollins, because she felt that Roman Reigns cheated him out of winning the title. So, that means the main event for SummerSlam for the WWE Universal title is going to be Seth Rollins versus Finn Balor, which a month ago I would have told you you were fucking crazy if you told me that was going to be the title match at SummerSlam.
Yeah, a month ago we didn't even think Finn Balor was going to be in the main event on the main roster. We knew he was going to be on the main roster, but we did not expect him to now be main eventing the second biggest show of the year next to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Amazing for both Rollins for to have a phenomenal person to work with and for Finn Balor for getting a golden opportunity on the main roster. I love it. I can't wait for this.
The match those two are going to put on.
Oh, it's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
We have the high profile draw match, like draw as in like mainstream media buys. In Brock Lesnar versus Randy Orton, and the real, like, the wrestler's main event. This is a real wrestling fan's main event for SummerSlam. Seth Rollins versus Finn Balor.
And again, one thing I do want to point out as well, like, there's excitement over SummerSlam. This is what happens when you give fans what they want.
There is an absolute legit excitement over SummerSlam. And a lot of matches haven't even been announced yet. All we have are rumors. But so far, three matches confirmed. And we love every single one of them.
And, I mean, there's some rumors. Like, we know, like, I'm sure it's going to be AJ Styles versus John Cena to end that feud.
I'm sure. Again, another high-profile match.
And, you know, I'm sure, like you have matches involving any combination of Rusev, Kevin Owens, Cesaro, and Reigns.
All great talent.
And then, like, you'll have Sasha Banks versus Charlotte for the Divas title, the rematch.
Which brings me to my next highlight. I'm glad you mentioned Charlotte and Sasha Banks in the Women's Championship. I'm so happy you said that. Because what have we been saying for weeks now? What have we been saying as far as the feud between Sasha Banks and Charlotte? when Sasha returned to that massive pop a few weeks ago, what did you and I both say? We both said, Mike, that
Sasha was the one that was going to beat Charlotte.
Absolutely. Not only that, but beat her at SummerSlam, the biggest show of the year next to WrestleMania. Sasha will beat her for the women's title just at SummerSlam. Well, that booking came a little bit early.
Hey, I'm not going to complain.
I'm not complaining about the match. I'm not complaining about the booking decision. I am not complaining because the booking of the match, the way the match ended, it was the way that we both of us wanted it to be. It's the way that it should have been. You get a clean finish. You get Sasha overcoming Dana Brooke on the side, overcoming the quote-unquote impossible physical odds against Charlotte, an intimidating women's champion, and beats her clean by making her submit and becoming women's champion in a great match, nevertheless.
Yeah, great match. And I love the little nod to Eddie Guerrero when she threw the title belt at Dana Brooke to make the ref think Dana was going to attack her with the title and thus lead to Dana getting ejected.
And I think the announcing even said, like, oh, shades of her hero, Eddie Guerrero.
Yep.
Which is great. That went over well with the fans. She got a big pop, which I think...
She got a huge pop in general, like...
Both in her entrance, throughout the match, and even when she won and became champion. So here's that highlight.
Look at this! And Dana's been tossed out now! Sasha paid homage to her lifelong hero, Eddie Guerrero, with that move!
Sasha was grinning and like waving goodbye at her. Great.
Yep. But oh my god, the pop she got. Again, Sasha Banks, not just the most popular diva right now, one of the most popular wrestlers regardless of gender.
Yeah, absolutely. Agreed. She's one of the most popular people on the roster. She got one of the loudest chants. She got one of the loudest pops. Her name was chanted very definitively.
Yep.
And Charlotte, by the way, for those of you who benefited watching the video podcast, that moonsault from Charlotte right there from the top rope on the outside is crazy. Like, you can agree or disagree about Charlotte's character, her booking, but I will never, ever question Charlotte's in-ring ability and her courage for doing the stuff she can do in the ring. And there it is. Sasha Banks makes Charlotte submit for the women's championship. Here is how it sounded watching Monday Night Raw.
Sasha Banks' night! Is it her night?
She's on it!
Sasha's the champion!
Here is your winner and the new WWE Women's Champion, Sasha Banks!
What an incredible moment, Corey! Sasha Banks has realized her dream here tonight on Raw!
Wow.
Yeah.
Now imagine if this was still called the Divas Championship.
I'm glad it's not.
It just wouldn't mean a lot. It just wouldn't mean anything if it was still called the Divas Championship. I'm sorry. Here's a little of what Sasha said after she won the Women's Championship.
I did it!
Loud cheers.
This has been my dream since I was 10 years old. I told everyone that I am the best. Now this proves that I am the best. It's a new era in the WWE. It's the era of the boss. It's the era of change. It's the era of women's wrestling.
And the crowd went wild. And the fans at home were like, yes, she called it women's wrestling. Bravo. The only knock I have against this is it happened too soon. It should have happened at SummerSlam.
Oh my god, the reaction you would have received there.
And you see, The crowd was universally chanting yes, yes, yes with her.
Well, she's like the female Daniel Bryan in terms of popularity and not being what, you know, what typically gets pushed in the women's divisions.
So here's a question I want to lay out to you, Mike. Was Sasha Banks going over Charlotte, becoming women's champion, what we both said should have happened? We are not complaining about the booking. We are not complaining about the decision. We're not even complaining about the match and how it happened. We loved every second of it and loved how it was booked. The only question we have is, was it the right time? Should they have waited for SummerSlam?
You know what? Like, yeah, technically they should have waited for SummerSlam, but at the same time, I'm not going to complain that they did a surprise title change on Raw. Like, that helps the show Raw. Because, like, title changes on the TV shows are beneficial for the show itself. It makes Raw seem important. It makes the title matches on Raw seem unpredictable.
That's a very fair point. Honestly, that's a very, very fair point. The way I was thinking of this is it's maybe a little predictable. As far as the wanting the end to have been at SummerSlam, because SummerSlam is, again, next to WrestleMania, the biggest show of the year for WWE, and to have the title change there, while may have been predictable, would have been huge. But you're right. I'm actually going to take that into consideration now. That made a lot of sense to change it on Raw.
Yeah, like
it did absolutely make it unpredictable. I was not expecting it to happen. I expected Charlotte to win via interference, via screwing her over, via anything she could have to defend the title and have the rematch at SummerSlam where Sasha wins.
I think they did that title change because they're probably gonna have a lot of new champions at SummerSlam. Like Gallows and Anderson interrupted New Day's celebration. I think Gallows and Anderson are gonna be the ones to end New Day's reign. I think one of the other, like the secondary singles titles are changing hands at SummerSlam. So, like, they figured pull the trigger on the women's championship change now.
Fair enough. So, let's switch from Raw, which, by the way, I thought Raw was excellent this week overall.
So did I.
We didn't even rate Battleground. I think Battleground was a solid 8 out of 10.
Yeah, I'll give it an 8. I won't give it a 9 because, I mean, the Jericho segment, I mean, it was effective, but... And the weird ending to the Miz match, so it's like, I'm not going to give it a 9, but I'll definitely give it an 8.
But as far as, like, the actual wrestling, the booking, I rated an 8 out of 10. Battleground was fantastic to watch from top to bottom. I actually watched it again last night after SmackDown. I loved watching it. And Monday Night Raw was a great episode this week.
A fantastic episode. Like, why haven't they been doing this all the time?
I know. You have half a roster and you have to concentrate on professional wrestling now instead of
actually,
promos.
Let's be honest, 3/4 of a roster. That was weird. They're like, we're going to take more people because we have the extra hour. But if you condense it, if you take out commercial breaks, Raw's only two televised hours.
So let's switch gears now and head to SmackDown. So Raw ends with knowing the championship match that they're going to have at SummerSlam. Dean Ambrose needs an opponent for SummerSlam. He needs to defend his championship. So what does SmackDown do? What does Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon do? Well, they create a six-pack challenge match or a double, triple threat match, whatever you want to call it. They create a match with six superstars. First person to get the pinfall gets the title shot. You had in the ring Baron Corbin, John Cena, AJ Styles, Dolph Ziggler, Apollo Crews,
I'm going to be honest. I thought AJ Styles was going to win the main event in SmackDown and get the title shot.
Honestly, I thought he was going to get that too.
Like, and I thought they were going to do that and kind of give the club like a bunch of titles. How crazy would it be, though, if like Balor wins the Universal Championship, Gallows and Anderson win the tag titles, and AJ ends up winning the World WWE Championship?
That would have been awesome. When they announced the participants, I thought Cena or Styles was going to win. That's what I originally thought. Apollo Crews is still in the I'm happy to be here babyface. He's not going to get that yet. He's still kind of sort of learning the ropes, even though he was very impressive in this match, like what we just saw with him and Baron Corbin with that sit-down powerbomb. And Cena turning to Super Cena and attitude adjusting everybody. Bray Wyatt was strong in the match. AJ Styles was, of course, as good as he always is. But the surprise of this whole week, I believe the surprise of the week, Mike, was Dolph Ziggler winning the six-pack challenge match, becoming number one contender.
Yeah, and like I'm weirdly conflicted. So with Dolph, like I love the fact that he's getting a push, and that he's getting a title shot. It's going to be fantastic. And to answer KP's question, I think that's just IWC fantasy booking that WWE's doing, and not a Ziggler heel turn. But at the same time, if they were planning on doing that, they shouldn't have had Ziggler lose pretty much every match he's been in for the last 3 months.
So here is the end of the match.
Is that it? Dolph got it! Whoa! Here is your winner and the new number one contender to the WWE World Championship, Dolph Ziggler!
I was just as shocked as everyone else.
I think Ambrose will go over, and then we'll transition to a feud with AJ Styles, is what will probably end up happening.
And speaking of that, Ziggler got the pin by going over Styles. I didn't expect this to happen.
Styles has the equity to afford that pin. It's a six-pack match, so...
I just didn't think that Styles would be the one to be pinned in the match.
Yeah, but at the same time, I mean, the only other person that could have eaten the pin would have been Cruz. That's the kind of match, though, it doesn't really matter who eats the pin, because everybody's got a little level of protection.
Now, the surprise of this was Ziggler, which for years now, as it seems, I mean, he had that one amazing cash-in for against Alberto Del Rio at WrestleMania after 29. And he's a multiple-time world champion. Can't deny that. But similar to CM Punk, he just had the belt because it was a temporary placeholder for the belt.
No, Punk wasn't a temporary placeholder, though.
For his first reign, he was. All right, when he first cashed in, he's like, all right, I got the belt. But and they didn't use him. They didn't use it right, and it was more about, like, yeah, you're world champion, but you're still mid-carder. Like, Ziggler, he became champion, but he never had the push that came with being world champion. So this, for that reason, is a surprise to me.
Fair enough.
And I think you're right. Him and Ambrose are going to give us a fantastic match. At SummerSlam.
It won't be Balor versus Rollins good, but it's going to be a good match.
I agree with that. It won't be nearly as good. But, I mean, let's think about this for a second. You have a returning Randy Orton, which I would say is a general favorable person by the fans, versus Brock Lesnar, which, assuming WWE can get Paul Heyman to come on, it's going to be a great show. May not be the best match, but it's going to be a great show.
Oh, with the Paul Heyman situation, they're going to re-sign him. It expired in May, and they've just been working on an extension, but they're expecting it to happen for Heyman to do promo work for Lesnar.
He has
for
to. You can't have Brock Lesnar without Paul Heyman in WWE.
Brock Lesnar sucks in the microphone. He needs Paul Heyman.
You just can't do it. You need him. He's the best manager in wrestling history. He's one of the best talkers in wrestling history, and he knows how to sell a match and sell a pay-per-view. You need Paul Heyman. Anyhow, you have Brock Lesnar versus Randy Orton. Then you have the two main events of SummerSlam are matches that we never thought we would see. At least not now. We never thought we would see this. We never thought we would see from the SmackDown side Ziggler being in the main of in a main event for the championship against Ambrose, who we never thought would be champion in the first place. Let's be honest here. And then the main event again, Seth Rollins versus Finn Balor.
Yeah, that main event's going to be the best main event they've had in a while.
This is shaping up to be, from a wrestling fan standpoint, a fantastic SummerSlam.
Yeah, it'll be one of the better SummerSlams in years. Like, they did a very good job. And I've noticed, and this is a point that I made with another former guest of the show, who also is co-host of the Shining Wizards podcast. That's one Kevin Garifo. My feeling with as far as how they stack the rosters is you're going to get the better wrestling on the Raw side for the most part across the board, because Raw is kind of like the brand for WWE, like the main brand. So you can pretty much be experimental because it's Monday Night Raw. It's their most popular show. People are going to watch regardless.
Right.
So you can get the good, like have the talented wrestlers on there, like put new guys in the main event scene there. And then SmackDown, what they did was they put a lot of the older stars, like Cena's and the Ortons, along with a couple newer guys like AJ Styles and Dean Ambrose.
Perfect.
To give SmackDown the rub. But that means that for the most part, the matches are not going to be as good as what's on Raw.
I agree, but they did that to get viewers to go to SmackDown, because while Cena is in the latter part of his career, he's still a monster draw for WWE. So it made perfect sense to put him on SmackDown, and it made perfect sense to have Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan be the on-screen authority figures. So SmackDown, they did everything right with changing the roster for SmackDown. Now, whether the matches are going to be as consistently good as Raw, that's yet to be determined. But as far as watchability and like the likelihood of me tuning in, I'm watching SmackDown every week now. Every week. So to answer KP Burke's question here, Ziggler turning heel, or is it just an IWC dream match? I would say, well, someone's got to play the heel. So I think Ziggler's going to be heel in the sense that he's going to be pissed off that he hasn't been given opportunities, and this is his moment to seize it. But he's going to say it in a demanding heelish type of voice. But I don't think he goes full heel. I think this is also WWE saying, "All right, here's one for you, Internet."
No, WWE is saying, "Here's a lot of ones for you, Internet."
No, but this specific match, like I think they're giving us this match because they're like, "Okay, you guys have wanted Ziggler in a main event. Here's Ziggler in a main event."
Yeah.
What will really surprise me and really like make me glued to the TV every Tuesday night is if Ziggler goes over. Can you imagine if Ziggler goes over Ambrose?
I think Winner faces AJ Styles as their next feud.
Because you're right. It makes sense for Cena and Styles to close their feud at SummerSlam. Makes perfect sense for Styles to go over. And then feud with the champion.
Yep. Now,
I'm not done with SmackDown highlights yet, because we need to address something here, Mike.
All right.
We need to address Eva Marie.
Oh.
I know whatever one viewer we have still on YouTube or wherever, they're going away right now because I mentioned Eva Marie. But for the sake of entertaining ourselves, do you want to see Eva Marie's entrance from SmackDown?
Oh, God.
Because it's really good.
I know it's terrible.
So, I'll play it for you guys and let you guys decide.
Concord, California, comes the most stylish, elegant.
Becky Lynch syndrome, like, what the fuck is going on?
Eternally beguiling, continuously charismatic.
No!
Fantastically fascinating woman to appear in this or any arena.
Wrong.
Allow yourself to be seduced, enchanted, dazzled, and entranced by All Red Everything herself, Eva Marie.
What was this?
In the better part of that segment, we had the SmackDown debut of Alexa Bliss. I'm sorry, I'm not even going to comment on Eva Marie. Like, she doesn't deserve it.
I mean, she got Roman Reigns level boos.
Yeah.
She got Roman Reigns level heat from the fans.
Because she's not good at all. And they all right, so they made it like she was wanting to get better, but it was really WWE forcing her to get better. Because they're like, get better, or, you know. And then they tried to make it like she was, they were going to try to have her challenge Bayley for the title, and then the fans hated it so much, like, all right, we're just not going to try.
How about that voiceover in her entrance? Like, what are you doing? I mean, I get it's different, but when you try to make something that's as boring and unwatchable as Eva Marie wrestling sound like the most epic thing in the world, like, Eva Marie is the definition of diva. I mean, she's a very beautiful woman. I'm not denying that. But her place in WWE is not in a wrestling ring. It just isn't.
Even the voiceover was boring.
I mean, it's Randy Orton promo level boring.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of heard a little bit of Randy Orton in that voiceover.
Again, Eva Marie is, I believe, the very last of the WWE divas.
Yeah.
The divas as in, like, who were just there to look pretty and model clothing.
Yeah, she was the last of the bikini models.
I mean, Eva Marie can do that very well. But as far as, like, be effective in the rain, no. She should be just like Lana, look gorgeous and introduce other people.
The problem is that at least Lana can make a character and get heat from the crowd or get over with the crowd, whereas Eva Marie does not have it.
I know it sounded a little sexist just now, but by saying that Eva Marie should just look pretty and escort people to the rain, but when you are someone like Eva Marie, for example, who, after how many years of just trying to be good in the ring and develop a character, and you just, some people just can't do it. Eva Marie's position in WWE should be a manager. Because she clearly cannot do it in the ring.
The only problem is I don't even trust her as a manager.
That's the sad thing. I don't trust her that much either.
And you know what's funny? Because, like, all right, so, like, yeah, we get it. Eva Marie's really hot. Like, let's not lie here. Like, she's really, really attractive to a lot of people. But problem is that the divas that are hiring now that can wrestle are also very attractive. But the difference is they know what the fuck they're doing.
Correct. So that's why I said Eva Marie and Lana are the last of the divas who are stunning to look at, but can't wrestle at all, can't perform in the ring.
And, like, all right, so look at Alexa Bliss, for example, someone that I mentioned earlier, and KP Burke's favorite of the women's division. So she's probably Eva Marie level attractive. I mean, I'll say that in a different way, like a more petite way, but the difference is she's improved far more in a year, especially since turning heel, than Eva Marie has in the 3 to 4 years that she's been in the company.
I agree. So, final 2 minutes of the show. You want to do a speed round of rumored stories before
okay.
we sign out for tonight?
Sounds good to me.
All right, speed round. Let's do this. Final 2 minutes of the show here.
All right. So, rumor. I mentioned this earlier. AJ Styles going over John Cena at SummerSlam.
I like it. Makes sense.
Cena's going to part-time. It's a good way to...
Pass the torch. Pass the torch.
All right. And let's see. Next rumor here. The CWC has been killing it. Word is that Grand Metalik and Ibushi have signed contracts or in the process. They've actually graduated Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa to full-time exclusive contracts. And they're going to sign a bunch of other guys from the Cruiserweight Classic too. They've offered Cedric Alexander.
How has that been, by the way, the Cruiserweight Classic?
Fantastic. It's been the best thing they've done since NXT. Zack Sabre Jr. has not accepted his deal yet for personal reasons. He's also canceled indie dates for that, but he's expected to sign early next year once those personal issues have been sorted out. There's talk of the new Braun Strowman repackaging. I just want to go on record and say that I like it. I like the theme with him. I kind of like the fact they're giving him a character that's not Wyatt related, and they're making him the metal music strong guy.
I agree, Mike. Final 30 seconds here. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I am at Hams Gruber on Twitter. He is at Hipster Punchy on Twitter. This is Brainstew Wrestling at BSR Wrestling. And we will see you next week on BrainstewRadio.com.
Yes, sir.